Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 woo!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Good Things Radio, and thank you for joining me for episode 29. Here we are. Also, a big thank you to my very first ever radio partner. That was Mr. Dave Calloway's voice, his movie trailer pipes that you just heard in the intro there. I started with Dave when I was 19. It was my first morning show co-host gig, and he's still at that station and a radio legend, really, in Wausau, Wisconsin, in that market where it was. And I just thought he's got the coolest voice I think I know. And in my book, he's right up there past Ryan Seacrest. So I reached out to him. He said, yes, I'll do your intro. So thank you so much to Dave Calloway for that fabulous vocal performance. And thank you for joining me for episode 29. On today's show, if you love books, you are going to be one happy reader. We've got a new project from Michelle Faley and Emily Jaminet, two amazing Christian moms. And we have an exclusive sneak peek for you right here on Good Things Radio. And it's from the ladies themselves. So we hear from them. Also, we have some quick and easy Thanksgiving hacks to make your meal easier than ever because Thanksgiving is coming before we know it. And I'm not quite in that mindset. I'm trying to be, but the stores are already looking at Christmas. So I'm not wanting to jump ahead. And I've got some really easy tips to try to make it easy for you that day and great and better than ever. And we're going to do something called a Brooke's Gonna Make You Cry. And I'll explain what that is later in the show. As tradition, though, if you would, we try to open our show in prayer, so if you join me now, let's kick off the program in that way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of a fresh start, a new day, a new opportunity to serve you with our entire heart and live like saints. Meet us in our need. Meet us where we are today, Lord. Find us where we fail. Lift us up where we fall. We trust you. We thank you. You who are worthy of all our praise. We give it freely. We give it always. Blessed Mother, pray for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so over the summer, I had the great pleasure of meeting two of the most dynamic movers and shakers in Catholic new media, specifically with a heart for reaching women. And we connected. It was the Catholic Women's Blogging Network of Ohio Conference. And even then, months ago, I heard rumblings of this really exciting new book, a new project that was going to come out. Michelle told me about it. It's been on my radar ever since. So we have an exclusive sneak peek just for you of this book. If life is busy, you're not into books, it's something neat just to know that's out there because it's kind of a handbook that anyone could pick up and receive a little bit of inspiration from. And if you are a reader, this is a total thumbs up. And I can say that knowing Michelle and knowing Emily and knowing Ave Maria Press, who is publishing it. And I don't want to say anything more about it because we have the authors themselves with a little voice feedback on the program today. So check it out. Here's Michelle and Emily to explain more about the book.
Hey, Brooke, this is Michelle Fanley.
And I'm Emily Jaminet from Columbus, Ohio.
We're so excited to share with the Good Things Radio listeners about our new book, Divine Mercy for Moms, Sharing the Lessons of St. Faustina. It's from Ave Maria Press, and it's going to be released this February.
You'll learn about St. Faustina, the devotion of divine mercy, and how you can live out the spiritual and corporal works of mercy as mothers, as we tie it all together with Mary, our mother, and the Mother of Mercy.
As busy moms, we want you to be able to connect deeper with your faith while serving your family and those around you. Mercy is not just a gift to be grasped in the confessional, but a spiritual resource that strengthens us when we extend ourselves for the benefit of others in our words, deeds, and prayers.
Michelle and I would like to help you live out this extraordinary year of mercy declared by Pope Francis. So we've included a lot of personal stories, as well as practical advice on living out divine mercy.
It's designed to be done as a group or a self-study, so we encourage you to gather your mom friends and do this together. We've also launched an online ministry to help inspire you to live out mercy. So for more information, check it out, divinemercyformoms.com.
Okay, thank you, ladies. DivineMercyForMoms.com. And by the way, as Michelle and Emily pointed out, Pope Francis declared
the year of mercy. That's the theme for the next church year. And it's not, though, starting in January. It's actually almost here because it goes, of course, on the beginning of the liturgical year. That will start on December 8th. So that will be the official theme, Jubilee Year of Mercy. And then it'll end on November 20th, 2016. So if you're in a reading slump lately, or, you know, whatever the case might be, even if you're not, but you just want to add something that's going to be a soul booster, I encourage you to check it out. We will write that date down in February. You can, I think, do the pre-orders now. But Emily, Michelle, thank you, because I think not only is it neat to have a book like that, but it's a collaboration between two friends. And I got to tell you, I'm a big believer in that. And utilizing technology, too, to use friends and to connect together. And that's how this little podcast, of course, came to be, as you know, with Jennifer and I. And we met over social media. If you go back and listen to, I think it's episode one, our first show, you can hear a little bit of our story and email, which actually kind of segues me, leads me into the retreat. Because as you know by now, there is a retreat going on that's Good Things Radio themed. The name of the retreat is Arise. And we're nearly sold out. We still have a couple tickets left, but I am so overjoyed at the initial response, knowing that within 24 hours we were nearly sold out. And I think now we've got like 11 tickets left. So within now and the next 5 months, I trust that we will find those people who are supposed to be plugged into this event. And the max space that we have is between 50 and 55. So even if we don't, I love where we're at. I love the numbers and I love the people that are coming. And that's what I wanted to kind of pick your brains about, because that's never an eloquent thing to say. I don't know why that phrase became popular, but you know what I mean. What's happening is I keep getting these emails from a lot of ladies who are attending the retreat. And I wish there was a landing page or a way for the attendees, or, you know, the Good Things Radio listeners to really connect. We have a Facebook page, but I don't know if it's the best platform, because I keep getting these emails from women who are sharing their stories or saying why they need the retreat, or they're just excited about it. And inevitably, I get to know a little bit about them. And then I get another email and it's like, oh my goodness, if these two would meet, they're like best friends and they don't even know it yet. And so I wish there was a way that I could get everybody that was going together to kind of, because I think it would make the experience richer anyway, if you kind of go in, feel like excited to meet a couple people. But I don't know quite how to make that happen. So if you have any ideas of how to maybe create an Arise community, Good Things Radio community, I would love to hear your ideas. I mean, whatever you're thinking, just throw it out there, because I'm not sure. I mean, there's a lot of different directions that we could go. We could do a Google Plus group, or we could do like a Facebook page but you know, not everybody's on Facebook. So I am just open to whatever you guys think. And if you're not interested and you just want this to be a retreat about you and God and a couple of the speakers that are going to be there, that's fine too. But either way, let me know if you do have anything brewing that you're thinking, yeah, you know, this would be cool. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. That's how you can reach us anytime. Shoot us an email. Let me know what you're thinking if you have any ideas. Song. I don't know about you, but, and I referenced it in the beginning of the show, you know, unlike the rest of the world, in my home, we are focusing on Thanksgiving before Christmas. Can I get an amen? I mean, I love Christmas. I love Christ. And I'm all about shining the light into the world for all to see. But I mean, let's not dilute the message. And I know that this is a very polarizing topic because, you know, and especially working at a radio station for a decade that we always played Christmas music nonstop really early, you know, you have each side of the spectrum. And I will say for myself, I prefer, as I would always err on the side of anything, to go with the cadence of the liturgical year. So that would mean, for me, the Christmas season starts at Advent, the first Sunday of Advent, then it goes through Epiphany, because what you find is in the stores and in the radio market, anything, like the day after Christmas, everything switches and it's Valentine's Day and it's like we're on to the next thing and we're over it already. And so I refuse. And I don't want to do that to my kids because I feel like it's way too soon. And we went to the mall to get something. I don't even remember now. And they're already like a waiting for Santa countdown. And they have the door there and everything is decorated. In fact, he might be there by now because that was a couple days ago. So I don't want to be a Scrooge. And I understand that everybody feels differently. But for now, in our house, we're focusing on Thanksgiving. So that's about the turkey and about gratitude. And yes, Thanksgiving. So whether you host or are a guest, or frankly, if you eat alone, I've got some Thanksgiving hacks, maybe especially then, because these are really good, designed to make your holiday very handy, easier, more solidly successful on the culinary front. I don't know if any of you have had that situation where you forgot to take the turkey out and it was frozen. But the first year my husband and I were married, I didn't know you were supposed to do that. I was an army wife. We were away from family. We didn't have Pinterest. And so I was just flying by the seat of my pants. And I took the turkey out of the freezer that morning and cried. I thought, oh, I'm such a failure. Because my mother-in-law is this wonderful Southern cook. So everything from chicken and dumplings to the stuffing is perfect. So that is not going to happen this year. And if you follow these hacks, for you, it'll be fantastic. These are Thanksgiving hacks that will make your life easier. I'm also going to get to some gratitude practices because that can be a tough one too. And, you know, that's what you really want to focus on for Thanksgiving. It can be sad. It can be exciting. It can be a moment of reflection, which is what we're going to try to get your mindset into. But for now, we're talking food. We're in the kitchen. So put your apron on, get your coffee. Here we go. These are a couple tips. First, add a little baking powder to make mashed potatoes extra fluffy. What? Apparently, the heat of the potatoes triggers the baking powder's chemical reaction, and the CO2 produces extra fluffiness. That's, and you can find, if you do Better Homes and Gardens cookbook, extra fluffy potatoes, maybe you can find the recipe. I'm not sure how much because you want to go light on the baking powder, but to know they're extra fluffy can go a long way. That's a comfort food for sure. Next, make gravy. Instantly great by adding soy sauce. Okay, again, it doesn't say how much, but you know, a dash here doesn't hurt. Bake stuffing in muffin tins to maximize the crispy surface. Oh, you love that, you know, when it's in the turkey, although I know there's different opinions about this. Some people do not like to bake the stuffing in the turkey. They think it's gross because it's then exposed to the raw turkey. And even though it all cooks, not everybody's a fan. So many people cook the stuffing separate, which I get. What the recipe we have that's been passed down for generations has always been the turkey in the stuffing in the turkey. So we just go that route. But the crispy part is what you love. So if you want to maximize that, put them in the tins. And then when you've got the muffin size, you know, portions, that's a lot easier for serving as well. The next Thanksgiving culinary hack, your best bet. Okay, we're talking gravy. That's back to the gravy with the soy sauce. So the soy sauce is good. Okay, next. Ice down the turkey's breast before roasting to keep it from drying out. So they had a picture and it's got like ice packs on the turkey breast. And so that's all you do. And then you roast it and then it doesn't dry out. And then start the breast at a slightly lower temperature. And then you solve the problem of white meat cooking faster than dark. Okay, I get it. Okay, because it'll be cold from the ice. I got it. I almost had a blonde moment there. Grate frozen butter straight into pie or biscuit dough. So you take a grater, a cheese grater, and you've got frozen butter, and you put that into your pie or biscuit dough because it's like little curls in there. It's not the chunks, and it's just right and melts, and it's nice and thorough. And you can use any cheese grater. The butter stays cold, which is what you want to keep everything tender and flaky, but you don't have to give yourself an elbow injury cutting it into the flour. So it's nice. I love these. You know, you just think, why didn't I think of that? Next, instead of scrubbing a lot of potatoes, if you're doing a ton, you're feeding an army, put them through the dishwasher. And then when you're mashing in bulk, there's no time for scrubbing by hand. Just put the potatoes in the rinse cycle, but of course you don't want soap in there, and cook away. You could pop sweet potatoes and other sturdy root vegetables in there too. So there you go. Those are some good Thanksgiving hacks for when you're in the kitchen. I like the gravy tip. And then I liked the first one. Oh, the baking powder in the potatoes. Okay, there you go. If you have any, let me know. I'd love, because we still have a little bit of time to get your tips in. You can do that. Also, we want to talk a little bit about being grateful. You know, for us, when we go around the table and we randomly ask, what are you thankful for? I have to kind of prep the kids and maybe even earlier that morning say, hey, guys, you know, write it down because, you know, unless you're thinking about it, you don't know. I mean, of course we know we're thankful for our health. We're thankful for our family. But to really kind of peel back the layers and have an extra dimension, a depth of gratitude. So these are just some, and there's so many things that you can do, but these are just some quick activities, some tips to help get the heart ready as well as the belly for Thanksgiving. So one tip, create a thankful wall. Simply put index cards up on the wall. You know, this is good for so many things. Whether you're learning scriptures, you want to memorize scripture, you put the index card on the wall, never fails. And that's a good one for gratitude. And I don't remember the source where I saw this. It was a Pinterest tip. But the writer was saying even the next year after, they kept that up. And I love that, where you can look and you can even add to it if you want, depending on where it is. And you can make thankful leaves or cards and then turn that into a banner. Anything that can be utilized over and over, I love, because you never get tired of looking back and seeing the kids' writing or their drawings. And that's what I love about Christmas, the ornaments, the homemade, handmade pictures and ornaments. I mean, every year I cry. I put the tree up, I'm crying. But it really is a beautiful moment of reminiscence and gratitude. So those are just a few tips, and it's impossible to, and of course the prayer journal, you can do that, or the gratitude journal, you can start that now. I saw on Facebook, there was a viral picture of a mom that had a pumpkin, and from Halloween, they would save it through Thanksgiving, and they would start at the top and each day kind of go around in a spiral down the pumpkin and write something different that they're grateful for. So by the time Thanksgiving rolls around, the pumpkin is full of things that you can be thankful for. And then you put it as a centerpiece or just in a prominent place. So those are some tips.
Turkey. Gobble, 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 gobble.
Okay, I had to. If you have any good Thanksgiving tips, cooking hacks, please let us know. Just send us an email to feedback@goodthingsradio.com. And as we prepare for Thanksgiving, consider the things that we're grateful for. I wanted to share a very personal situation with you.
Brooke's gonna make you cry. Brooke's gonna try to make you cry.
So if you didn't guess by that little intro, you know, sometimes I like to pull the heartstring emotion a little bit because I think it's therapeutic. I think it's a way that we can draw closer to God and honestly focus on the good things. That's what Good Things Radio is about. And a lot of times that's tongue in cheek. You know, that is kind of meant to be a little cheesy skit type of intro, but this is something really serious that I want to share with you today that I do think you're going to need your tissues, and I don't know if I'm going to get through it. In fact, that's why I saved this until the end of the show, because I knew that if I started the show and I shared with you about this, that I probably wouldn't be able to finish the program. So it was an event that occurred recently that has really shaken me, our family, our community to the core. And I debated if I should even talk about it because it's still very fresh. And to be honest, to some degree, it's very personal. And I want to respect my friend. And, you know, for myself, I'm used to sharing things from when I was 14 years old in radio. That's kind of just what I do, is, you know, blab about my life for good or bad, because I realize the gift of walking with each other. And through maybe my story, somebody else will share theirs. And there's a heart connection. There's a prayer intention. There's a friend. So it's all about sharing, you know, the days that we have together. So, but that's me. I mean, my husband's not always been open to me sharing. And certainly I most importantly want to respect the privacy of those in my life that may not have asked to have certain things shared with the world. And truthfully, I don't want to be a downer. I want the show to have high energy. I want to be able to, in some way, inspire or entertain you. But it's just too important not to share. And that's why I saved it for the end of the show, because I knew that if I opened the show with it, like I said, it would just be curtains for me. That would be it. I'd be done. So last Saturday, I received a frantic text message from one of my dearest, most precious friends in the whole world. And she was urgently asking for prayer. And I knew the instant that I received the text message that it was serious. But I didn't really have details at the time. So I started praying instantly. And then I received a subsequent message that with the most horrible news that I've ever received in my life. And I'm not going to go into what it said, but nevertheless, it just was something that I couldn't quite compute in my brain. And I don't want to elaborate on that anymore, just to say that what ended up happening is that my friend, Jen, and if you could keep her in your prayers, the Gerber family, along with their two of her children, her girls, Jen has five. She's got her oldest son, and then she has her 11-year-old daughter, and then she has Eden and Cecilia, and then she's pregnant. She's 7 months pregnant right now. And 11-year-old Evie had her recital. She was at a recital, and it was a Halloween-themed piano recital. So she played her song, and she stood up, and she took a bow, and she collapsed. And her nose was bleeding, and for the next hour, medics did everything humanly possible to revive her and to save her life, just like that, in front of an audience and all of these children and wonderful families celebrating this beautiful Halloween-themed piano recital. This happened. So it was traumatic for everyone. An instant moment where you can't believe what you're seeing for this beautiful 11-year-old little girl. And after that extended period where the medics, the parents, the hospital staff did everything they could, they couldn't keep her here. So she passed into everlasting glory. And what I want to tell you about in those moments where eternity opened and it's like this portal between the finite and the infinite was palpable and was present. And Dad, Chad, was on his knees in the emergency room with his arms outstretched. Jen was holding her daughter's hand. And this is really a picture through and through of the faithful life this family's lived out every minute of the day leading up to this point. And that's why I share it with you, because I can't tell you the amount of times I have examined my life and my day, as well as these discussions with friends about how we're living. Because when you see Evie's life, when you see this family that I've known and admired and loved for many years, but when you actually recognize the way that they live their lives, it changes you. And you think, do I bless my kids every night before I go to bed? You know, do I really take the time to pray with them like I should? Because they did that. And I want to tell you about Evie, the beautiful Saint Evie that I believe she is, because I believe her life is an example to other children. I know all she has been to my children. My children knew her. They cared about her. She was a girl, so maybe, you know, whenever the kids would get together, they didn't play the same games and they didn't know about her interior life. But boy, has she already inspired my children, parents and adults, believers, unbelievers. And I want to take a minute and just pull up her obituary and read it to you, which is not something that I would normally do. And I don't, and I have a purpose of why I want to share this with you, because it reads like a beautiful poem. It reads like the life of the saint. And this is where I think, you know, it's so powerful. Evie Gerber died suddenly on Saturday, October 31st at a piano recital. After playing her song, she bowed to the audience and then collapsed. Parents in attendance, paramedics, emergency room, tried everything to revive her. The precise cause of death is still unknown. Evelyn was born in Oxford, England, to Jad and Jennifer Gerber. And so that story alone is another amazing journey with Chad and Jen, him going to Duke Divinity, who's going to be a pastor. They grew up Mennonite, and having this great conversion at Oxford. He went to Oxford. He's going to be a pastor. But then this beautiful pull to the Roman Catholic faith. And now he's a Catholic theology professor. That's another story in and of itself. She lived most of her life in Canton, in the Dalton Kidron area. She was home educated, homeschooled along with her siblings. Evie took delight in reading, drawing, sewing, swimming, practicing piano and guitar, playing dolls with her sisters, exploring nature, and simply being with her friends and family. She was eagerly anticipating the arrival of a baby brother. due to be born later this year, and the opportunity to care for him as a little mommy. She spoke often about her desire to be a mother and an art teacher when she grew up. Always smiling, Evie was a little girl with enormous joy and an insatiable sense of wonder and awe for God and the world. She sincerely loved others and was known by all for her eagerness to help, to share, and to bring peace wherever she saw pain or conflict. Evelyn was also known for her abiding sense of contentment. She was satisfied with what she had, asked for very little, and freely gave much away. The source of Evelyn's serenity was her intense love for Jesus Christ. She believed that in him she already had everything. Evie was an example of prayerfulness, often finding private places to recite the rosary or forming prayer groups with her friends. She also enjoyed singing hymns with her family, especially those she had memorized in her schooling, and she had a deep affection for the unique presence of Christ in communion. Many times, Evelyn expressed her longing to one day see him face to face and be counted among the saints in glory. She found particular inspiration to love and follow Jesus from the very short but extraordinary life of Saint Therese of Lisieux. In addition to her parents, surviving relatives are Micaiah, Eden, Cecilia, Harley, Faye, Grandma, Grandpa, Mary, Grandma. Then it goes on to talk about the calling hours and that even in lieu of donations, family was asking memorial contributions be made to Akron Children's Hospital, Friends of the Kenyan Orphans. And Evie was an organ donor. She donated her eyes, the gift of sight. And it's a hard thing to talk about because Jen is one of my best friends. She is, and Chad, the goddaughter of our daughter, Carolina. We are the godparents of their daughter, Cecilia. And this is such a personal thing. And so, like I said, I just want to protect the intimacy of what they're going through, but also at the same time, shine a light on this family. I mean, you read that obituary and her life was a psalm. The Psalms were called hymns of praise by the Hebrews, and that's what her life was. The Psalter leaves no heartstring unplucked, and it's not just a positive spin on the story of a normal little girl. She was extraordinary. That really was Evie. And in so many ways, I feel like this is just the beginning. As the days go on, it has been the most terrible privilege of my life, if I can say that, put it that way, to witness the faith of my friends as they inspire people they have never even met with their story, their peace, their faithfulness in God's promises. And there's so many stories tucked in between, up and down, around and through these last days that I really could not do it justice. And I trust God's beautiful unfolding. And I think of Evie as a rose and this rose blooming. And that's what's just beginning to happen. She's already perfectly bloomed in heaven. But for us here, it's sweet. And I look at my daughter who has special needs and mostly nonverbal and how Evie was one of the few people in my daughter's life that would take the time to play with her. Because when you have a child that's different, a lot of kids, and frankly, a lot of adults, really, they'll like give a, the child, they don't realize it, and it's okay. It's fine. But because I'm Carolina's mom, obviously, I see it, that there's a formality that occurs, a general greeting, a hi, how you doing? Okay, this child's not looking at me. This child's different. This child's weird. This child's not talking. And they go on to the next thing because it's just not something they want to deal with at the time. And that's okay. I mean, it's something that's very common. It happens in my children that, or my daughter, that when she's with other children. And because Carolina doesn't go and initiate, that's part of autism. She's not going to go up and initiate unless you have something sparkly that's odd, a friendship or a conversation, because she's nonverbal. However, Evie was the type of personality that would pull her in. And I can't tell you what that meant. So I feel so much that Saint Evie is looking over my daughter and in all of us. And I just share that with you because I think it's an example as I hear stories from Chad and his father's heart and how she would never go to bed unless her dad blessed her. And it wouldn't matter how tired he was or if he forgot, she would come and say, Dad, you forgot to bless me. you know, and she's blessing him now. And when he would come home from work, she would always be the first one to greet him. As a mother, you know, Jen would see the faith of her daughter. She had just taken her to confession the day before. Evie was St. Clair, and that's what she wanted to be for an All Saints party. So, and then the aftermath, the things that has remained and lingered, the little notes that she's tucked away. And this wasn't something that was in any way expected. I don't know if I conveyed that. And they still don't know. I guess I have to backtrack. My brain is still immersed in trying to breathe and function and in whatever way I can receive the suffering of my friends and to be there. But the cause, we still don't know. We believe that it was a heart issue, but to just suddenly and so quickly collapse and then pass away is something that is traumatic, and it's unexpected and still unknown at this point. So that will yet to be determined. But it's a reminder that we're not promised tomorrow. And so I guess I just want to leave you with that thought as we anticipate Thanksgiving. And I think on an earlier podcast, I shared a practice that Father Edward Hayes had written in one of his books about throwing a surprise party every day with God. About, you know, being grateful, because it awakens our senses. Sometimes everywhere we look, we are bombarded with gifts and blessings. So we can be blinded to them being blessings, and that's okay. But it's a way to awaken that sense. And so he says to throw a surprise party when you wake up in the morning. Be surprised when your legs actually move out of the bed and work as they're supposed to. Be surprised when your car starts. Oh my goodness, Lord, you started my car. Because how often do we just get in, fire it up, and it's good to go? You know, or when you turn on the water and it's warm, or you flush the toilet, act surprised. The kids will be like, oh my goodness, mama's losing it. But I love that idea because it helps us delight in the little things, which is, can be especially hard to do when we're stressed or depressed or really busy. I think especially when we're really busy. So just a reminder, a gift. And if you could please, please pray for my friends, the Gerber family. If you get a chance, if this in any way has touched your heart and you want to find out more, I would Google the Cant Repository, Evie Gerber, which is E-V-I-E. And there are a couple newspaper articles about her that have really gone viral in our community that I encourage everybody to read. And I don't want to read the articles because they're pretty lengthy, but they are so worth your time. If you know someone that's struggling with their faith or just not in a good place, I really encourage that because it's amazing. I mean, almost especially for those who are unbelievers, because there's something that you know to be true about this, where you can feel it in the marrow of your bones, that through the darkness, and we can't imagine its depth, that we are not lost when we trust God to Him, ourselves to Him, wholly, and believe in the truth of everlasting life. I make all things new. That is such a beautiful truth. So I want to wrap there for today. Thank you again for joining me for episode 29 of Good Things Radio. I wish that this would have been an episode where I was talking about how are you going to observe Advent? I've got so many ideas with that. And this great new entertainment honeymoon that I'm in because of this great new show that I found, and I'll tell you about that on the next episode. I did not want to open this show or end the show or have any part of the show talking about a tragedy. That's for sure. And I don't know if I did justice to my friend, but I thank you for listening and walking through the story with me. And as always, we love to hear from you. We appreciate our prayers for each other. And if you would like to hear, and I hope you do, or like what you hear, that we would love your review. So please help us out. You can visit iTunes. Kindly leave us a positive review. We've got like 45 on there now, but we definitely need more because that helps kind of boost the visibility on iTunes, and I feel kind of like I'm limping along still without Jennifer. So I would love to hear from you. If you could please kindly just search up Good Things Radio in the podcast directory. Leave us a quick note if you would. And it's really nice to exchange ideas. Always, you can reach us at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios, for his dynamic skills, his quick work. Mark is the producer extraordinaire. He wears a lot of hats. So if you want to find out more, reach him at cumminghomestudios.com. And if you would, join me to wrap up in prayer. Let's do that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, Psalm 126 tells us, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. We pray for all those who are weeping, who are bowed down and bent over. With fatigue, grief, hardship, suffering, Almighty God, you are faithful. And as we weep on Good Friday, we thank you for the joy of Easter Sunday. Help us to live each day gazing into the empty tomb and living as an Easter people with peace that we too will one day be with you in paradise. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thanks for listening to episode 29 of Good Things Radio, my friends. And remember, we are an Easter people, and hallelujah is our song. God bless you. Until next time.
This episode of Good Things Radio was produced by Mark Cumming at Cumming Home Studio, your solution for all audio and video needs. www.cumminghomestudio.com.